Hi everyone, this is Johnny Cowsey from the Door Foundation. You're listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. Keep it locked.
WGXM listeners, my name is Matthew Reed Harrington.
And this is Michael Hoy, also from Camp Hill Hudson.
We are hosting Rainbow Pride Show on Tuesday, June 25th at 7 o'clock p.m. Ashlar's Building, 360 Warren Street.
That's right. Come and enjoy a local family-friendly event and see performers express themselves in the spirit of Rainbow Pride. And if you want to perform, come share your artistic talent. Whether you identify as LGBTQIA or are an ally, all styles of performance are welcome for this family-friendly event. Contact Michael Hoy at camphillhudson.org to be put on the performers list.
Camp Hill Hudson Rainbow Pride Show on Tuesday, June 25th at 7 o'clock p.m. Savaras, Camp Hill Hudson, 360 Warren Street. To see you there.
La despensa de alimentos de Catskill está localizada en la parroquia de la Iglesia de St. Luke en Catskill, en la calle William, número 50. La despensa está abierta todos los viernes de la 1 hasta las 4 de la tarde. La comida sana es un derecho. Para más información, bienvenidos a todos a venir. Llamar por teléfono a 551-299-2456. Mirar la página web catskillfoodpantry.org o conectar con nosotros en Facebook en Catskill Food Pantry.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, featuring first-run and repertory films at movie theaters located in Rhinebeck and Saugerties, as well as live music, filmmaker conversations, staged readings, community events, variety shows, magic, comedy, and more. The latest schedules, as well as upcoming pop-up events at the Community Theater in Catskill, can be found at upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Page in Ghent, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Hello, my name is Sean. I'm a member of the Camp Hill Hudson Radio Group, and you're listening to Live by Life. We also have Kelly, Michael, Matthew, and Rachel in the WGXC Catskill Studio. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Sean. We are so excited to be our first time recording in the new Catskill Studio on Main Street here in the downtown region. So we're really excited. And Sean, you're going to introduce our guest, right? And Sean and Kelly.
Today we have a guest here in the Catskill Studio. Her name is Katie Hilverman from the Spark of Hudson. Katie Hilverman was born and raised in Hudson, New York, and graduated from Hudson High School. She earned several degrees at prestigious universities and returned to Hudson in 2018, and later joined the Spark of Hudson.
This is Kelly. At the Spark of Hudson, Katie leverages her deep-rooted connection to the city and her experiences to spearhead initiatives that foster innovation, education, and community engagement. She is also a proud mother. Welcome, Katie.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, nice to have you here.
This is Matthew. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
You were born and raised in Hudson, upstate New York. Tell us what life was like growing up here for you, your family, and the community.
Yeah, so I grew up in Hudson in the 80s and 90s. It was very different at that time than it is now, but I still see a lot of the same things that my kids are doing now I experienced then. Yeah, I grew up and went to Hudson High School, went to the Hudson City School District, and I spent a lot of time in the community doing the things that kids do now. So I went to Oakdale Beach all of the time. I was actually a lifeguard there as a teenager. I spent a lot of time on Warren Street. I always went to the town fair, which was a toy store that existed there. I played a lot of sports, soccer, volleyball, Little League. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, and part of the reason why I moved back to Hudson in 2018 is because my daughter was just born, and I really wanted her to experience a lot of the same things that I did growing up in Hudson. And so that's been really fun to watch her, and now my son as well, do the same things that I did when I was a kid.
Do you have any childhood memories of that time growing up? Maybe, I don't know, going to the Hudson River or in the wider Columbia? Like, because there's been a lot of people that have, you know, come to the Hudson upstate region in the 21st century. So, yeah, what were maybe some notable memories at that time in the Hudson Valley?
Yeah, yep. I spent a lot of time down at the river. My uncle Jake had a boat down at the boat club and was a member there. And so that's where we had a lot of our family gatherings. Actually, my mom is still a member there, or was until pretty recently. So, yeah, that was very notable. Hudson has always been known for its parades. So it's it has.
Yeah, parades.
Yeah.
We love parades.
Yes,
right?
I love parades too. Now there are so many parades, but as a child, there were also, you know, very often parades that were followed by fireworks down at the river. The Flag Day Parade has been around, I think, for 20 years now. I used to march in the marching band. I played the xylophone, so I would have to wear the big xylophone on the front of me and play and march. And so, yeah, that's another memory that I hold dear and get to still experience. Now I think there's some upwards of 10 parades in Hudson every year, which is really fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say it's not quite a parade every month, but it's getting there.
It's pretty close.
It's getting there.
Yeah.
So, Rachel, did you want to read that?
Yes. This is Rachel. Hi, Katie. Tell us about your different college degree and how that helped you in your current job at Sparks of Hudson.
Yeah, good question. So, yeah, I spent most of my time in college studying cognitive psychology, and I was particularly interested in how people learn and remember. So that's been really helpful at the Spark because we think a lot about how to help people get excited about learning and do this in ways that are sort of different than how they're done in schools. So we're really aiming to get people excited in a way that to work on things that spark curiosity and are exciting to them rather than, you know, have it be sort of classroom teaching where there's an expert in the room with a bunch of people learning from that expert. We really believe that everybody has something to teach. So if you're excited about it, you can share it with someone else, tell them how to do it, and talk about it. And we're trying to create a culture at the Spark, especially in our new building, where we're inviting people from the community to come in and share what they know, whether or not they have a degree in something, or whether they not or not they consider themselves an expert, and really empowering people to share their skills and their knowledge with other people.
And when did you join?
I've been at the Spark for around 10 months now.
Okay.
Yeah, still relatively green. I previously was working in tech. So when I first moved back to Hudson, it was only supposed to be for a year. I was working at Vanderbilt University Medical Center in Nashville, and I took a sabbatical to come back with my baby and spend time with my family. And as soon as I got here, I felt like my feet were on solid ground. And so I wanted to find a job here, but it was hard at the time with my background. So I had been working remotely. So I was working for a company that was in another state as a data scientist. And I did that for 5 years. And I really wanted to find a way to apply what I, you know, was my experience and the things that I had learned locally. And that's when I came across the Spark of Hudson and the founders who were looking for someone to run the operation locally before they were doing it themselves. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
It seems like that time away maybe gave you some rejuvenation in coming back and seemed to come at the right time.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. If you had asked me when I was 18, if I would ever come back to Hudson, I would have said, heck no. And then the longer I was away, the more I got excited about what I was experiencing when I was coming back. And the community here is something I couldn't find anywhere else. So I lived for a while in Rochester, New York, and then in Iowa City, Iowa, and then in Nashville, Tennessee. And I really had I was all over the place. And I had great experiences in those places, but it never really felt like home to me. And I do think Hudson is a very special place.
Do you like country music?
Country music? I do like country music. Actually, when I worked at Oakdale, that's all we ever listened to. We just had the same country station on all the time. So it's not something that we played in our home, but it was...
So what's your favorite?
My favorite country music? Let me think. I think Luke Bryant probably is what we listen to the most. What about you?
Well, you know, everyone loved Taylor Swift.
Oh, Taylor Swift. Yeah, she started out singing a lot of country.
She's more like, she's singing like pop songs, but she put a little bit of her music into country.
Yeah, that's how she started. That was the Taylor Swift that I, knew and loved, and still love.
First pop, then country, and then you heard this person named Tim McGraw.
She
did a song with him.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that, actually. That's cool.
I didn't know either, so she put a little bit of pop and a little bit of country.
Love that, yep.
The same thing with Miley Cyrus.
Her
dad's a country singer too.
Yeah, totally. Yep.
Well, I know that was going to be a song that Sean wanted to. I'm sorry, a question that Sean wanted to ask about music, but you actually.
Ricky, how you heard that song?
I have heard that song. Yep.
We can talk more about that though too, music. But Sean was going to ask a question though. Yeah.
How did you join Spark of Hudson, and what is its mission?
Yeah, I joined Spark of Hudson. Felt like all of my experiences up until this point when I heard about the Spark had led me to this job. So like I said, I have the background in psychology. I then had been working in tech where I was running a team and analyzing data. And I also was the head of the library board, the Hudson Area Library Board, for a couple of years, and actually was until last month. And so I had this experience running a big community building. I was drawn to the Spark because of the good work that they were doing in the community. We have a lot of different initiatives that aim to improve people's lives. So our vision is to build a community where every individual has the opportunity to flourish. And I had really seen that working. I had seen that play out, and I wanted to be involved. I reached out to the founders of the Spark to see if they were hiring. I also had a number of different people in the community suggest that I reach out to them. Thinking that it was a good match, and it really has felt that way, where we have sort of complementary value systems, and I get to test out cool new initiatives in a community that I love, with an awesome organization sort of at my back, providing the resources that we need to do good work.
That's excellent, awesome, amazing, inspiring. This is Michael, by the way, I didn't say. So I was looking on the website, and I was just, if you could maybe expand on these different programs that, are listed there, like the Hudson Up or Hudson UP, Hudson Dots, and the STEP program.
Sort of the overarching goal of what we're trying to accomplish is to create new models for living that can be replicated and scaled in other places. So in other cities, within other governments, even other countries. And so we've created these initiatives that address address different sort of areas of life. So Hudson Up is a universal basic income pilot. That means everyone in this program receives money every month that isn't contingent on them working for that money or doing anything. It's no strings attached. So it's 128 individuals in Hudson who receive $500 a month for 5 years. And the idea there is to sort of demonstrate what that does to a small community. It's the first pilot in a community of this size. And what we're seeing is that money helps people live. So in the first cohort of people receiving those funds, we've seen employment rates triple. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have had access to a car for the first time in their lives. Some people were able to take jobs that didn't quite pay all their bills because there was that gap there. And so it's been a nice demonstration of how giving people money can empower them to take new steps in their life. Hudson Dots is our affordable housing initiative. So we purchased 12 houses in Hudson proper in various states of disrepair, renovated them, and are creating an affordable housing program where folks have access to housing that they can always pay for. We're also creating a pathway to ownership of those houses, so giving people opportunities to own in Hudson that otherwise likely wouldn't be able to. It's called Hudson Dots because the houses dot Hudson, so they're not all in one place. They're throughout Hudson, and you can't tell they're affordable housing from the outside. And then the Hudson Step program is an initiative that we're doing in partnership with Columbia Green. It actually just ended its first year. We are paying the tuition for a cohort of people in the building tech program there. So it's a one-year program. At the end of this program, they then are matched with local contractors. That's an area that is really booming job-wise in Hudson because all of the work that's being done there. So we're trying to create a system by which people can get certified and then get placed in jobs so they can stick around here.
Are they... like through the step, since it's related to, say, carpentry work, are they helping with these Hudson Dot houses or at least on the job getting experience through that?
Yes. Yeah. All of our work on our Hudson Dots houses are done by a contracting firm called Build Hudson, run by Nick Zakos. Their mission is to train local people in the building trade. So they are directly taking folks out of that Hudson Step program, taking them on as apprentices. We're subsidizing their wages for the first year that they're working with Build Hudson, and they're getting on-the-job training. And what we're seeing is that many of these folks are then going on to start their own businesses.
Awesome.
Either as independent contractors or, you know, doing things similar, like creating a lawn care business or a snow removal business. And that's been really, really great to see.
And the, universal basic income, I know that's gotten some media, like PBS did a feature, and was Andrew Yang also in some way consulting on how to get that going? And how is that going? I mean, it's 2 years into it.
I think we're 4 years into the first. Yeah, the first cohort was just 25 people initially, and that program expanded. Andrew Yang and his people, they did consult on this at the inception. Now it's solely funded by the Utopia Foundation, which is Susan Danziger and Albert Wenger's family foundation that funds a lot of our work locally. It's been great to actually see government officials taking note of the work that we're doing and hopefully using it to inspire legislation.
That's awesome. There's also the other side of Spark's involvement, and Matthew wants to say something.
Yeah. The Campbell Hudson Players received a great film project called Happiness Spotlight was done at Hudson Hall, and we want to thank you and Spark for helping us to film it.
Oh, you are so welcome. I wasn't able to make the performance, but I saw a bunch of photos from it, and it looked like it was a blast. We do have a grants arm, so if you go to our website, you can apply for a community support grant for $5,000 or less to help nonprofits doing cool mission-aligned work like Camp Hill. And and that's exactly what we want to see, is performances like that happening in our community, programs that enrich the community further and get people excited about seeing different work.
Is this the one that you're reading from the Camp Hudson Players?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, when you were talking about happiness in the spotlight, mm-hmm. I was the person in the spotlight.
Oh, my goodness. That's so cool.
On the poster.
Did you notice that?
Yeah. No, that's amazing. I thought I recognized you from somewhere.
Well, yes. You know, what can I say? Jody had to find a star diva.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, I'm in the spotlight.
Yeah, fame,
and
man.
And I'm, like, performing with all these people.
Yeah.
And I felt like, wow, it was incredible.
I'm so glad to hear that. That sounds really great.
Yeah. But I was not the only one, because I shared it with someone else.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
It was Matthew.
Very cool.
He got the chance to be the star, and yeah. I got to be one, too.
That's true, yes.
That's so cool.
Well, yeah. So I think it's great.
Yeah. Come on, can we get on with it?
Can we get on
being
with it?
A diva, it was like a wonderful experience.
I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah.
I think Katie might want to know the film that there was the play that was filmed. This was one of our original plays, for the listeners that don't know, called Happiness in the Spotlight, and Spark funded part of the filming of this original play that we did in Hudson Hall. The editing of the film part, or the story, is done, but now we have interviews that we also did, and that's still in process.
And
so
we did Forgetful Divas too.
And we did a different play too.
And we did a different play.
But to finish this point, when it's completed, the film will definitely either send a link or alert you to when we have our first showing. Yeah. I don't know which one we're doing.
Yeah, we could have a showing in Spark.
We could have a showing in Spark. What do you think of that?
So now you know who was in the spotlight.
Yeah.
It was me.
I know famous people now.
Rachel, did you want to read your question?
Yes. Tell us about some projects or
initiatives.
Or initiative that you have sponsored that you are proud about.
Yeah, of course. So, yeah, the initiatives that I just mentioned are big ones. Another big one was we relieved all medical debt at the Columbia Memorial Hospital a couple of years. That was before my time at the Spark, and I actually was a recipient of that. I had received a letter in the mail that my medical debt had been erased. So the impact of that,
good for you.
Yeah,
that's a big deal. There was a lot of people. I read that. That was a significant act.
Yeah.
On Spark's behalf. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We also have done a number of smaller programs that I feel proud of. So we have a 3 years running air conditioner program in the summer. So we give away air conditioners to people in Hudson who need them to stay cool. That has been really amazing to see over time, and the need is actually decreasing because we have given air conditioners to almost 10% of homes in Hudson.
Yeah, that was a question I was going to ask. That intrigued me, the air conditioner, and that over 1,000 Hudson residents' medical debt was paid to Columbia Memorial. So, well, there you go. I thought that might be at the top of your list of things that you were either proud about or you were affected by.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Matthew, did you want to?
Tell us about Spark's new community center at 5th and Union Street in Hudson, and what kind of activities will happen there.
So the Spark building, the new headquarters at the corner of 5th and Union in Hudson, has been under construction for several years, and it is now poised to open in just a few weeks. We're really excited about
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, it will be a community center where we're hoping to have something for everyone in the community. So something of interest to bring everyone out to do something together or learn something together. Right now, a thing that I feel really excited about is right through the front doors, we have a cafe. That will be Circle's Bagel Counter.
So we'll
bagels, yep.
The bagels.
I'm really excited for that opening, which is just happening in a few weeks. Tepper, who is the founder and chef, had been operating as out of Little Deb's and looking for a space to call home. And we are... Yeah, that's a restaurant. Mm-hmm, it's delicious as well. And so, yeah, we are very excited to give Circles a home. The first floor will also have a sliding scale co-working space. So that's been one of the primary requests that we've had from the community is space to work, office space. We don't have any private office spaces. This will be a large room with several phone booths and conference rooms for rent, mm-hmm. where people can come and share ideas and work together. Really excited about that. And then the rest of the building will be available to the community for use. So we have a number of nonprofits who are having their programming there this summer. So Oral History Summer School will be in the Spark building. Yeah.
We know them. They used to come to the Solaris building at 360.
Yeah, so. Yeah. They are doing really cool work. And I think now more than ever, identifying and respecting the history of the community is a really important part of making this community work for everyone. Kite's Nest is having their summer programming, some of their programming in there this summer. And then we're going to have some of our own programming as well. We are doing something called Circles. So these are themed topics on an array of different topics mm-hmm. that are happening once a month. Themes that we'll have are writing, arts, community history, parenting, climate. And our hope here is to bring people in who are interested in these topics from all sort of pockets of the Hudson community to share ideas, discuss them, have a bite to eat, have a bagel, and try to foster.
I love bagels.
I love bagels so much. I'm gonna work. Yeah, I'm gonna work
having
in a building.
Having bagels over any awesome. Topic is makes it a lot I'm easier.
Kidding. Exactly.
Jewish people love to eat bagels.
I know. Jewish people, yeah, all people. That was sort of the ideology.
People,
yeah. Yeah. It's really cool. Yeah. So we'd like to get everyone in that building and make it feel like it's theirs. We're trying to do a lot of sort of bottom up asking the community what they would like to see there. And so, yeah, I'm interested also to hear what you all would like to see in the Spark building and what would be interesting to you.
Yeah. And I don't know if Tom or anybody else from WGXC asked, but well, there was an idea of possibly having microphones reside there and when groups want to come and that can't make it.
Yeah,
could be at Spark to record. Yeah,
yeah. WGXC has asked that and many other people have asked that as well. So that is a need that we are addressing. Woo!
Yeah. Yeah. Matthew?
I have a question.
Yes.
To the mic. Just speak into the mic. Yeah.
I have a question, not in a script. Is it be nice to have community bagel dinner to share with our once a month community dinners?
Ooh, I love the idea of hosting one of your community dinners. Yeah.
With a bagel theme?
That's a great pitch.
Sounds very interesting.
Because
all dietary
was month,
needs met, right?
Once a month, our friends, once a month we have a community dinner to bring to Solaris, and we have a lot of people to cook, and now we have your bigger cafe. It sounds really interesting. It'd be nice to bring, like, summer bagel community dinners.
That's a great idea. Yeah, I'm sure Circles would love to cater a community dinner. And we also have a commercial kitchen in the building if you want to cook.
Okay, yeah. We have Solaris has a commercial kitchen, but it would be nice to go off-site, though, too. Okay, well, hold that in. you know, how you say, feather in our cap. Let's,
yeah.
Yeah, we're always looking for new initiatives and projects to start.
My family have a cafe too, Temple 4, is open on Memorial Holiday.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mother's Day.
What's vegetation, yes.
Ah, Rachel, you want to ask your question, your next question?
Can people volunteer or get involved in the Spark organization? And if so, how?
Yeah, yes, we would love to have volunteers get involved. Right now, the easiest way to do that would be to send us an email, hello@sparkofhudson.org.
Mm-hmm.
We have talked about in the future having a process by which we can take on new volunteers. I think it would be very exciting to get more people involved.
Cool. Kelly, I'm wondering if I can ask a question off script. Is that okay? I ask this question of a lot of guests. You know, you mentioned you grew up in the previous century and that Hudson City itself and maybe the surrounding area was just different in terms of the economic aspects. And now that Hudson has evolved so much over the last 20-something years, and I've been here in the area 16 years, I mean, where do you see Hudson City and the wider area evolving over the next few years, given where it is now?
Yeah, yep, good question. So one of the main things that I've been thinking about since I got back, even before I was at the Spark, you know, through the library and just through existing in the community, is how we can make it work for everyone. People talk a lot about gentrification, and I think what they think about initially is displacement, which is, of course, a really important and really hard to deal with issue, where people are getting forced out of their homes, many of whom who have been here for generations because property values have increased so much and rent has been raised so much. But I think, you know, we also have to think about gentrification as like just everything new that comes to Hudson. It's primarily for tourists or people of wealth. I talked about at the beginning of the show, riding my bike down to Warren Street to go shopping. That's something that my kids just couldn't do now. There are not stores on Warren Street really that sell toys to children. Well, Little Pickles is great.
One. Yeah.
Yeah. Little Pickles is wonderful, but the feel of it is different. Even my parents would let me go down there because they knew I would see 10 people at least that I knew. And that if I did anything naughty, that they would get a phone call on a landline. And so
we won't ring the bell for that
one. Yeah. So yeah, where I see this going, I think what I really would like the Spark to become is an organization and also a physical space where we are trying to get people to understand each other, bringing people in to discuss hard topics like housing. We're hosting a couple of the meetings for the comprehensive plan that is now being undertaken in Hudson, specifically around housing. And I want to create an environment where people feel like their voices can be heard. Mm. And we're really encouraging people to take other people's perspectives. So when we talk about housing, centering the voices of people who don't have a place to sleep that night, you know, and creating a culture in Hudson where we're thinking about the community as more than just a collection of beautiful buildings, but as a group of people who have made this community great and diverse and vibrant over many generations. And I see that happening. I feel really heartened by a lot of the organizations doing good work in our community and creating programs that really do meet everyone's needs and desires and really doing that work. And I think what we have to focus on is how to get everyone to come together and work towards this
amen
sort of common
that.
Goal. Yeah,
yeah. Amen to that, because there's so much division and, you know, just polarity. I know, I feel like housing is a big something that would actually bring people together to speak about it, because that's just going to be an ongoing thing, because it's not a huge city.
Definitely.
But Kelly's been waiting patiently. You want to ask your question?
Tell us about your family and children.
Ooh, all right. Great question. So my family of origin is still here. My parents, my mom still lives in the Fifth Ward in Hudson. She was a school teacher here. My stepdad was a social worker. My dad when I was a child, he lived on Warren Street. Now he lives in Hillsdale. He was the county clerk here for a long time. And then my stepmom is still a public school teacher as well. I'm very proud of the work that they've done in our community. And I still see them all the time. They're very happy to be grandparents. They like it a lot more than having kids, it seems. But yeah. That seems to be the trend with grandparents.
Good for them.
Yeah, yeah. And then the family that I live with now is my partner, Ron. He builds furniture for a living. And he is also a lovely father to our two kids. I have a daughter who is 7 years old. She is named Poppy. She is a firecracker. She is keeping me on my toes all the time. And then I have a 2-year-old son named Cliffy, who is in daycare and is sweet as sugar. And we also have two dogs named Milo and Archie.
Ooh, two dogs, Matthew. Yeah. Matthew's a dog lover.
Yeah. And then we also...
I'm a cat lover.
Oh, yeah. I also like cats. I'm a little afraid of them, I will, honestly.
I'm used to cats. They're so nice. They are so lovable.
Yeah, they are so sweet.
They're very huggable. And one of them, mm-hmm. They like to get their back rubbed.
Oh, yeah, totally. Well, I just got a new, we just got a new family member a couple of weeks ago too. And it's a little bearded dragon lizard named Cherry. So she's our newest family member.
Wow.
Lizard. Yeah.
A lizard.
It's orange. She's very sweet.
You do your sound effect for the lizard.
I was in the Hudson walking and I saw this lady have this lizard.
Yeah.
On top of her
shoulder.
On her shoulder, and I was like, oh, my God.
I saw her, too. I saw her, too.
I was like,
yeah.
The lady with the lizard.
Okay. Yeah.
She was like, I don't know. Does it bite?
I
was like, well, just touch the tail.
Yeah, yep.
Well, congratulations on your new
pet. And nothing happened.
Thank you.
I was like, thank God.
I'm so busy.
Did you want to ask you, Sean?
What do you do in your spare time? Do you have any hobbies?
Ooh, yes. I go to the gym a lot. I go to KS Fitness in Hudson 4 times a week. I really love it. That's where I came from, actually. I took a quick shower and then came right here from a class that was called Ruckus. Another hobby that I really enjoy is I clean gravestones. So I go to Cedar Park Cemetery and clean and revitalize stones there. I've taught classes on it in the past too locally. I really enjoy it. I started doing it. I have generations of family members that are buried there, but like dating back to the mid 1800s. So I started by several years ago cleaning their stones, and then learned it as a craft. And whenever I get a spare moment, I go over there and clean a stone. So,
Do you have a favorite genre of music?
Ooh, yes. Let's see. What are we listening to the most right now? I really enjoy sort of jam bandy country music. So I just went to a concert for a band that is called Shovels and Rope. And I have seen them play in 5 different states. I really enjoy them. They were just down in Kingston. But I listen to all kinds of music. We listen to a lot of hip hop in our house. We listen to a lot of kids music, especially Brown Bear right now, which my 2-year-old really enjoys. We're sort of all over the map. I like a lot of 70s music because that's what I grew up listening to in my house because my parents really liked it. We have a lot of different eclectic music choices.
Well, I'm going to see if I can quickly get a Shovels and Rope song up to do our outro. But Kelly has the final question, right?
Do you have any advice on how to lead a good life?
Oh, this is a great question. I think the thing that I would say about leading a good life is to really try to listen and understand the people around you. I think if we all did more of that, we would have a much better world. And the more I let other people talk and tell me what they're thinking and what they're experiencing, the more I'm able to understand them and love them. So, yeah, listen to understand.
Listen to understand. That could be a slogan for WGXE. Listen to understand. Tom, which channel is for the YouTube? We're going to play Shovels and Rope on the outro.
Yes.
It should be up in the... we hit the red button on the one that says leave up all the time.
Leave up. I'm going to leave up. I'm going to pray.
Way rusted on a salty coast. Rock of ages clean.
But let's thank Katie for coming in. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Katie, for joining us for WGXC. Live by Life. It's so nice to have you here. Rachel A. Monkey-Sherman, Sean McDonald, Matthew Vinnie Harrington, WGXC Worldmaster, Micah Patrick Hoy, WGXC Director, Kelly A. McConney.
No!
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, we appreciate it. We are going out with the song Birmingham from Shovels and Rope.
Spend 5 years going from town to town, waiting on that little girl to come around. Caught in the arms of New York City to lose that gal. Seems a terrible pity. Rock.
Nathan McLaughlin, Camp Hill Hudson Radio Group. Good morning, WGXC listeners, and welcome to Live by Life program. I'm Kelly, a member of the Camp Hill Hudson Media Group, and my other colleagues in the studio with me are Kim and Lori and Michael. Today we have a special guest.
Nathan McLaughlin lives and works in Hudson, New York. He is a musician and artist, as well as former executive director of the Camp Hill Hudson community. Nathan's musical focus is on the intersection of acoustic and electronic instruments, the human being and going to the center. He is also a community member of Camp Hill. Welcome.
Welcome. Hi, Nathan.
Hello.
This is Michael and Lori. Say hello.
Hello, Nathan.
Hey, Lori. Hey, thanks, everybody, for having me.
Nice to have you in the studio here, and Tom's in the background. So we're going to get right to it, and Lori and I want to ask you this question. So, Lori, you want to ask Nathan, where were you born?
I was born in Florida with my brother. It was nice down there.
And you're a special guest today, host. Yeah.
The host.
Shall we ask Nathan where he was born?
Yeah.
Let's ask him. You want to ask him?
Where you been born, Nathan?
Yeah. I was born in a town called Haverty Grace in Maryland.
And where did you grow up?
Yeah, and I grew up in the town across the river from that, in a town called Perryville, Maryland, which is kind of at the top of the Chesapeake Bay.
That's far.
Maryland.
That's far?
Is it far? It's like 4 hours from here. It's not that far.
Yeah, and we are in the Hudson studio here, by the way, just so people know. So, yeah, not too far, but far enough.
Far enough.
Yeah.
That's Kelly.
Tell us about your family and childhood, and tell us how you met your wife.
Okay. My childhood was spent in the forest a lot, kind of lived in a very rural area, had access to a lot of forest, so that's where I spent a lot of my time.
In Maryland.
And spent a lot of time there. Where I grew up, there weren't a lot of kids on the road or anything on the streets. It was pretty rural, so... Spent a lot of time in the woods hanging out and getting to learn about nature. Pretty musical household. My mom and sister were playing music in the house a lot, but I didn't play music as a kid, really. I didn't really start playing that until college. which is where I met my wife Maria, you asked about. I met my wife Maria in York, Pennsylvania, York College, which is where we were going.
York College. And that gets actually to the next question. Tell us where you went. Tell us about college and what your major was. And what did you do after you graduated?
Yeah. It's kind of funny to talk about it because I have a degree in marketing, which is, a funny thing. Cause it's not like I do corporate marketing or something.
Yeah.
but that's what I have a degree in. I have a minor in music industry, and I was really thinking to go work for record labels after college. And I did some of that in college. I worked for Madonna's label, Maverick, and I worked for some punk rock labels.
Okay.
Hellcat Records, some others.
You have any interesting stories from that time? Working for that record company, or?
I mean, it was cool. You know, I would get packages in the mail, and my job was to go around to all the record stores and promote shows and promote albums. So I would get to go see shows. I would get to go backstage, meet bands. I think the big band at the time on Maverick was Muse, a band called Muse. So okay. I got to go see Muse. And, you know, when I was doing that for Hellcat Records, I got to go to a lot of cool shows, meet a lot of cool punk bands back then. Not really any great stories, though, honestly. It was kind of anticlimactic doing that work. You would think it sounds a lot more glamorous than it was. It wasn't that.
Like most jobs, probably.
Yeah, like most jobs. So I didn't end up doing that, and I graduated and started doing this work where I was doing job training for inner city youth, and did that for a couple years, but at the time my wife was already in Camp Hill, and I was just increasingly intrigued by what was going on there. That was at Beaver Run. Laura, you know about Beaver Run.
Right.
You were a student there a long time ago. So I went to Beaver Run to be a teacher's aide, and that's where I first met Camp Hill and anthroposophical music.
Yeah. You're kind of one step ahead of our questions because Kim was going to ask what you just mentioned, which was how did you...
Tell us how you got involved in the Camp Hill organization and where it took your life.
Yeah.
Maybe to reiterate, do you remember the specific moment where like you really, it was like, oh, this is a Camp Hill or...
I do.
Yeah.
I had been, going out there because my wife was in seminar. They call it the Academy now.
Yeah.
And so I would go there for presentations or different little events. I didn't really have a concept of what that was.
Yeah. This is in Pennsylvania, like 50 miles west of Philly.
Yeah. Chester County. Yeah. And it can be hard to really understand what's going on there other than it's like beautiful and the people are really interesting and all of those things. I was becoming kind of increasingly frustrated in my work because it was a nonprofit owned for-profit company and there were just a lot of ethical dilemmas happening there.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember saying to my wife, I don't care what they need. Like, I would go be the janitor, which is actually, still a job I think about going to do because I like to do that. But they didn't need a janitor. They had that. They needed a one-on-one classroom aide. So I said, yeah, I'll do that. So this is a fun story because I went out. They were like, yeah, maybe you could come have an interview. And coming from the business world, I thought, oh, okay, I know what an interview is. it's not what that was. I met with this guy, Bernie.
Yeah.
For folks that know, Bernie has this amazing long beard and he's always wearing a flannel shirt. So I meet up with Bernie and we go on this little walk and he has this little note card, like an index card in his pocket. And he keeps pulling that out because it has information on it. I guess he wants to ask me about. And we're just, so it's this sort of interview. But then he's like, okay, I need you to go up to the schoolhouse and meet this teacher. That's who you would be maybe working with. I want you to go meet her. And I thought, well, that's strange. Like, I don't know her at all. I only know like three people there. Like, how? What am I going to do? But what he was trying to do, I think, was see if I could like navigate a social situation, go up there and introduce myself and kind of just navigate that, which I did. And then the teacher did something like that to me as well. I'm in the classroom just kind of observing, and then it's time for recess. So we go to the playground, and there's this young man, and I could tell that she like put me out there without any instruction to see if I could kind of immerse myself in that. And I really wanted to do this. So for people that know me, that's not really my personality, but I did that. Mm-hmm. Ended up, I got that job and I went there and thus began, and not to be overly dramatic, but it's true, a sort of like life-changing year and a life-changing experience that changed the whole trajectory of my life. To such an extreme that I thought I'll never go work in an office again. Yeah.
Kelly.
Yay to no office.
Yeah. Well, that didn't last. That's another story. Kelly. But the thing about it, and it's different. What changes people is different for each person, obviously, when they go to Camp Hill. But for me, it was so enjoyable to be relieved of myself. I had to give myself over because these were like really intense classroom situations. So all day long I have no choice but to be fully in it and in service, and I found that liberating. It's stressful, but I also found that it changed really who I was drastically.
Do you remember how old you were, if you don't mind sharing? When you had that initial interview?
26.
26.
I'm 43.
Yeah. 43. Yeah, and that whole how Bernie and the teacher, that's kind of the Camp Hill way, right? It's kind of like,
yeah,
here you go, and let's see who you are.
I liked that so much that I did that to countless people in Camp Hill in all the years since. For folks at Camp Hill Hudson, if you remember me ever sending random people into tea break without me there, that's what I was doing.
Yeah,
I'd be like, the tea break's, a couple floors down. And if the person could do that, and then I would come down maybe 15 minutes later and see if they had kind of settled into that, then they're good to go. Or if we didn't have the time, I'd be like, I want you to come back on Wednesday at 10 a.m. And if they did that, showed up and did all of that on their own, then they're good to go. And you're working with someone who successfully navigated that. That's Svetlana. She did that.
Okay.
And I remember coming down and seeing, yay, Svetlana, seeing her in the tea break. And I thought, well, she belongs.
It's also very minimal. It's not very taxing. It's just like, it's like so much less, oh, I have to do this to help them. Whereas actually you do the opposite.
That's right. And that's an important lesson for people to learn kind of up front. Helping someone is a bonus to being with them on their journey. Mm-hmm. And I found that a lot of my days at Beaver Run were spent just walking alongside someone on their journey. Someone's having a tough day in class, they send me, because I'm the classroom aide, out onto this trail system. I spent hours and hours on this trail system. So I'm just alongside them while they're having their bad day. And that's an honor and a joy, really.
Yeah. Being there.
The only time it was nerve-wracking was when Maria was pregnant. So she was very pregnant, and I was so worried because I didn't really carry a cell phone or anything at the time. I had to go get a cell phone just in case I'm in the woods and she goes into labor.
Oh, okay.
I would need to get
be
back.
Alerted.
She was in the schoolhouse, but still, I'd want to get back there because otherwise I could be out for hours, without a phone or anyone really knowing where I am.
Did you get notified while you were?
She worked labor? In the classroom until the bitter end. I mean, she was so pregnant in that classroom because she was working.
Oh,
she was a teacher.
Yeah, because your first son was born in June.
Yeah.
So she made it through the school year and then...
Yep, by like a week.
Gave birth on her own birthday.
gave birth on her birthday, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What a gift that must have been.
I know.
As much as I'd love to keep picking your brain about that, I think we should go to the next question. Kim, do you see... you want to...
How long have you lived in Columbia County and what brought you and your family here?
Sure. So I've been in Columbia County, it'll be 11 years in May, which for me is like a record to be in one place. Camp Hill brought me here. I was in Camp Hill, Minnesota with my family before I came here. And I came here because I started doing the outreach work on behalf of Camp Hill and needed to be in a more centrally located place. So I came to Hudson because Camp Hill Hudson had just bought Solaris. And it was almost an empty building, as I'm sure Michael remembers and Lori remembers. Because Lori, you were already there. And they had an office. And so there I am back in the darn office, you know, after all those years of thinking I'm done. the office, there I am.
But it was in a different way, though. Being directly involved on the ground, so to speak, especially with children at Beaver Run, which is very intense. I mean, I was at Triform, and that was intense enough. But but you had that sort of direct connection still, even though.
Absolutely, yeah. You know. Yeah, and, you know, we had been life-sharing and house parenting in Minnesota.
So Lori and I want to ask you this question. Yeah, so you kind of, well, you didn't quite allude to it, but let's ask him, how did you join Camp Hill Hudson?
How did you join Hudson?
Well, you know, if for anyone that's spent time around Camp Hill Hudson, it's hard not to join Camp Hill Hudson. And I was just talking to Maria. You can ring the bell, because it's very true.
I didn't want to overkill it, but yeah. Yay. How could you not want to join? Love that.
Well, I was talking to my wife the other day, because in the mission statement of Camp Hill Hudson is play. Playing is part of the mission, which is the only Camp Hill that I'm aware of that has that in their stated mission. And it's a joyous place to be. And, you know, I had my office right there, right in the middle of everything. So, I mean, I got kind of wrapped into it pretty quickly, probably within that first year, because it's a wonderful thing to do. At the time, I was traveling a lot, so I probably missed a lot of things. But and then as time was going on, I joined some different working groups in Camp Hill Hudson. I joined the finance group, and I joined the core group. And I don't know if Cam will hear this. Cam was the director before I was, who essentially convinced me that I should take over her role as the executive director. And it, you know, to be honest, it took some convincing, because it's a hard job.
So I hear. We laud you for it.
It did take a little while for me to make that leap, just because of I knew kind of the level of commitment there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it was the decision wasn't about me. It was about all of you.
To be of service. So it kind of came back in a different way. Yeah, after having that on the playground.
There's a Carl Koenig quote. Carl Koenig was the founder of Camp Hill. And Michael's heard me read this quote many times. I won't read the whole thing. I'll paraphrase it, which Carl Koenig talked about being a servant more than a leader.
Yeah.
And to be a monk-like approach to that, have a monk-like approach to that, and I really tried to, and still do, try to live that.
Mm-hmm. And I haven't read that verse in a while. That makes me want to go grab it again. Yeah. Be more of a servant than a leader, and that gets back to the side-by-side kind of what you mentioned before, with those walks with the individuals you were helping.
And to be a listener.
You know, to be a listener.
More than someone who's ordering people. You're keeping order more than you're ordering.
Yeah, and that's a fascinating thing, because if you're the ED, it's executive kind of is action.
Yeah.
And yet you have to listen to when you need to take action. So
you're carrying out the action that's the will of the people
that
are around you. Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned music a little bit earlier, but we want to know how you did mention how you got into playing music later, but what was your kind of first memory of really saying, wow, I really am taking to the guitar, which is your primary instrument, right?